This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mary Kay Cabot, who joins us from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Follow her on Twitter at Mary Kay Cabot. Hello, Mary Kay.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Let's just start off with it. I heard you on Baskin and Phelps the other day. You said you didn't really care for Baker Mayfield's comments. Go ahead.
Well, it was the fake thing that I didn't really like. That part, I thought, once we got to Monday, I really thought that it was time to, you know, to kind of let it go. So that's what I was talking about. I don't think that after the game, I don't think anybody really had a problem with someone feeling like, you know, your coach kind of left you, betrayed you a little bit, went to the enemy, you know, get your game face on that way, galvanize the team. I didn't have a problem with that. He didn't say anything disparaging or wrong after that game at all. I didn't really see it that way, and I don't think really anybody did. But then I think once you get to Monday, you know, the fake thing and the, you know, the 30-plus loss thing, you know, that I thought was, okay, let's leave this in the rearview mirror now. Let's move on to football, and let's not, he doesn't have to do this right now. He's got the world by the tail. He's playing great. He's got the team behind him. He's got the city behind him. I just didn't think that part of it was necessary.
Well, I thought you ended up having a good point there, because at first I go, oh, come on, Mary Kay, I'm not going to lie to you. And then they had the media availability on Wednesday where he's available for 16 minutes. And you guys have stories to write. I'm not attacking the media for this at all. There's, you know, you got to get people to read the stories, and it's the biggest story out there in the NFL at that time, so I'm not hammering you for it whatsoever. 12 minutes of the 16 minutes is spent on his comments about Hugh Jackson. And Lima and I came in, and Lima, I think, was right, and I agreed with him wholeheartedly about, hey, you know what? Maybe this, if there's a lesson in here, it's that he's probably tired of talking about it already, but he's noticing that what he says carries a tremendous amount of weight. So anything he says along those lines, it's going to be talked about, it's going to be blown up, and maybe he just, if he doesn't feel like explaining it over and over and over again, maybe he'll probably just keep it to himself, or at least to his teammates from here on out.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. But even that day, you know, it could have just been, hey, you know, I said what I said on Sunday, I said what I said on Monday, and, you know, let's just talk some football right now. You know what I mean? It could have been that. But, I mean, the questions had to be asked, because if you are going to come out and call Hugh Jackson fake, well, then, you know, that begs a follow-up question. What do you mean by that? So the questions had to be asked, but I do think that, you know, if he had wanted to, you know, he could have kept that to the bare minimum of, you know what, some things happened inside the building that, you know, that I didn't like. I don't want to go into detail on that, and I'm not going to answer any more questions about that. That was in the past. Let's move on. Let's talk some football.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the hotline. Yeah, I think Baker, this is going to be a learning experience for him. I know he likes to play with the edge. I know he's always looking for motivation around every corner. But this story ended up going 6 days later than it really should have. And this was nothing. It's going to get worse. And especially when he's going to have more detractors, he's going to be more polarizing, there are going to be more national guys taking shots at him. Especially when you lose a game. I mean, look, Drew Brees lost a game yesterday and looked terrible. Threw for 126 yards. Baker's going to have bad games. And you know, this week, if he has a bad game, all these national guys are going to go, you were obsessed with social media and Hugh Jackson. Now, I don't believe that to be the case, that that's going to affect his play, but you know that's going to come out. And then what, is he going to respond to it and prolong that story? I think it'll be a lesson learned for him this week.
Well, you know, you have to consider also that Baker likes to, you know, kind of get himself whipped up into a fury or a frenzy about things to help him keep that edge that he plays with, to play with that passion and things like that. So sometimes I think he likes to put himself in the mix and in the eye of the storm. And we've seen him do that at Oklahoma. And if that's what he likes to do and he needs to do to get himself ready to play a game, then, you know, then we might see more of this as we go along. But I mean, that was my only argument against it, and I hope that, you know, I didn't make that. I hope that I was clear about that on Tuesday when I talked to Annie and Jeff. It was not about the post game stuff. It was about fake and that sort of thing. But I will also say this, that it became another huge story yesterday when Freddie Kitchens came out and said what he said. Now, that's another situation where, you know, I think the media gets blamed for making it a story, but we didn't make it a story yesterday. That was Freddie deciding to come out and make it a story again another day. And now, because he was so strong in what he said, I think, you know, that will have a tendency to get picked up nationally and go on and on and on. So this is a situation where I think it could have ended on Sunday with the, you know, the post-game snub and the post-game comments. I don't think it actually had to go on all week.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the hotline. Yeah, I didn't love that yesterday, I got to be honest. I mean, for the 23-year-old brash quarterback, fine. From the offensive coordinator who has called three games in his career as an offensive coordinator, to sit there and kind of pile on a coach who, let's be honest, Hugh Jackson has had a more, we can all make fun of his win-loss record, he's had a more distinguished career as an NFL coach than Freddie Kitchens. I was a little surprised he continued that. And I'm just curious, like, nobody's bringing up Todd Haley and all this, and we know, and you brought it up, and I was so glad you did. Todd Haley was the one that essentially brought in Freddie Kitchens. There was pretty clearly two different sides throughout this whole process. And we are still hearing from the Todd Haley side without hearing from Todd Haley. Are we going to be honest at some point that it was Todd Haley was the guy that was running the antiquated offense? It wasn't Hugh Jackson this year.
Well, that is absolutely 100% correct. It was Todd Haley who was running the offense. And now, Hugh gets the blame for it because he was the head coach, okay? He was the head coach, so his name is on that football team, and his name is on that offense. But if you remember, and this played out in front of the whole world, is that Todd, perfect example. Hugh Jackson says Josh Gordon will not start the Pittsburgh game. Well, guess what happened? Josh Gordon started the Pittsburgh game. So you can see that there was a pattern of, I don't know if you want to call it insubordination or whatever you want to call it, but all along the way, you could see that Hugh Jackson was telling us, I want to play Nick Chubb more. I want to play Nick Chubb. I want to play Duke Johnson more. When it wasn't happening, it got to the point where, I don't know if this happened or not, he probably demanded that they trade Carlos Hyde, or at least had a big say in it, because Todd Haley would not play Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson. And the argument here, and it's a valid one, is he's the head coach. He has control over these things. But it was more complicated than that, because Todd Haley was recommended to him by John Dorsey. And he didn't have a whole lot of leverage. He was coming off of 1-31. So he can't just go firing Todd Haley or taking back the offense without it being sort of an organizational thing. And I can tell you that along the way, those things, there were efforts to try to do those things, and it just wasn't happening. So yeah, there is a lot of Todd Haley versus Hugh Jackson residue of the divorce going on here. And like you said, there were people in the building that were loyal to Todd, and there were people in the building that were loyal to Hugh and still are. But, you know, we're not going to hear from those people. They're not necessarily coordinators, although Greg was in Hugh Jackson's camp. But, you know, he's trying to get a head coaching job right now. He's not going to come out and say anything in Hugh's favor right now. It's just the climate's not right for that. But, yeah, it's a little bit of a mess.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show from the Cleveland Plain Dealer on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. For Greg Williams, as of right now, I'm going to ask you another follow-up real quick here, but as of right now, 1 out of 100, what's the percent chance that he stays as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns full-time for 2019?
I would say 10 to 15%.
10 to 15%. Could that change if they beat Houston on Sunday significantly?
Well, I suppose it would get a little bit of a bump, but I've been saying this all along. I really don't think that John Dorsey would show up on the Browns' doorstep with a list in his pocket of head coaches that he's been thinking about for years and years and years, and then with someone who has been here for some of this stuff that's been going on and that he doesn't have much of a connection with. I think he really appreciates some of the stuff that he's seeing right now and some of, you know, how the Browns are coming together and playing well. But I just still, in the final analysis, I don't think he's going to do what Mike Holmgren did and keep Eric Mangini after he won out that year.
So you do believe that there will be a wide gap between how fans kind of take this and how John Dorsey will take this?
You know, that's just how I'm seeing it. Nobody has actually told me that, but I'm just trying to, use sort of reason and logic here. I just don't think that John Dorsey is going to stick with someone who's been, you know, in the building and been here for some of the past. Now, having said that, it seems like Freddie Kitchens is gaining a lot of ground, and, you know, there is some thought to the fact that they will interview Bruce Arians, and he has already said that he would keep Freddie as offensive coordinator and consider Greg Williams as defensive coordinator. Something like that, to me, seems like it would be more likely than Greg becoming the head coach.
Mary Kay Cabot, join us on the hotline. The Bruce Arians thing, we've been talking to you about him, and you've been doing a lot of reporting on Bruce Arians, who's made it known he's politicking for the job. And as much as none of us want to be seen as being ageist, especially in 2018, you know, there is something to be said for he kind of left because of his health. He left Arizona high and dry, and they had to move on and go with another coach. And now he would be asking John Dorsey and Jimmy Haslam to commit to him at 66. He's 2 years older than he was last time he walked out on an NFL team. What kind of a balance would they be striking, you know, with those conversations and to try to make that commitment?
Well, they'd have to have a comfort level that he was going to be all in. They'd have to know that physically he was up for the grind and the challenge of being a head coach. And then when you look at the big picture, as I just mentioned before, Freddie Kitchens is starting to gain a lot of goodwill in the organization. What if they looked at it as, yeah, keep Bruce around for, you know, 3-4 years as a head coach and groom Freddie for the job, you know, and then you've got continuity and those sorts of things. So, I'm not saying that this is the number one scenario or anything like that, but, you know, these I'm sure are things that they could possibly be thinking about.
You got a number one coaching candidate yet for us? Come on.
You know, I really don't. I really don't yet. I'm not there. Every time I think, about a certain guy, then I start to think that, you know, maybe that wouldn't work for one reason or another. You know, there's a lot of names on the list. You know, I still hear that Lincoln Riley is dead serious about staying at Oklahoma and, you know, isn't really necessarily ready to jump to the NFL. And then I don't necessarily think that Matt Campbell is ready for this opportunity, but maybe they'll think he is.
I don't know. What about Dave Tobe?
Maybe Dave Tobe, because he's been around for a long time and he's got the connection with John Dorsey. I think he would be a pretty solid candidate. He doesn't have the offensive background, but, I think he would probably obviously bring in a really strong offensive coordinator, and I think that he'd be okay there. You've got Eric Bieniemy. I know Albert Breer has been talking about Josh McDaniels a lot. I think that's interesting, but also there are extenuating circumstances with that one. So I honestly can't say that I've got the number one person yet that I would say that's the guy.
Mary Kay, you know we love you. We thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you, and hopefully we'll run you down again next week.
Sounds good. Love you guys.
Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland Plain Dealer on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Should we do that? Whoa! She does love us back.
Thank you. Makes my day.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.